Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah, so nice to see everybody for the first meeting of this year. If you are looking forward to a great year, give me an amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I believe the Lord will do that for you in the name of Jesus Christ. He will do that. He will do that. He will give you a great 2026 in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, let's quickly get into our teaching for the year. We'll start with the declaration of the glory of the Lord. The book of Psalm chapter 95. We're going to start from verse 1, but we'll stop halfway through verse 7. All right, before we start reading, please bless your neighbor. Tell the person, I thank God for your life. Tell the person, I thank God for your life. I thank God for your life. Now bless the person. Say, this year, the word of the Lord is coming powerfully to you. It will transform your life. You see, more than ever before, it will make you more like Jesus Christ. All right, so let's begin to declare the glory of the Lord. One, two, let's go. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said that for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Our Father, we thank you this morning. Lord Jesus, we glorify you. We declare that you are the Lord. We declare that you are the King. We declare you are the great King above all gods. We declare that you came in flesh as a manifestation of God for us to see. We believe that you brought us up from sin and brought us to dwell with God the Father. Now are we children of God because of your sacrifice. We acknowledge it and we say thank you. Because of your sacrifice, we are not slaves anymore. We are free. We are free. We are free. We are free. Brethren, you are free. Take a moment and give the Lord thanks because you are free. Somebody are listening to me. The Lord says, you are free. You are free. You are free. Somebody has been scaring you because of, family curses. You are free. 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 Generational curses. No, you are free. Give the Lord thanks this morning. Say, Lord, I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. If you have seen that sign in your household, by which they have been telling you, please don't follow prophets that don't know the word of God. There are many out there. They tell you, you see, you need deliverance. No, I'm telling you, in Christ, you have been delivered. You just need to stand your ground and say, I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. Father, we thank you for a beautiful year in which your freedom in our lives will be manifested.
Amen.
We give you all the praise. As we go into your word this morning, we receive from you insight.
Amen.
We receive from you understanding.
Amen.
We receive from you wisdom.
Amen.
And the entrance of the word that gives life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we declare as follows.
God
has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. It's a beautiful day already. All right. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Sounds like you are convinced. One of the things you must go for in Christianity is conviction. Paul said, the things you have learned and have become what? Convinced of. Things you are doubting, they don't allow the power of God to enter your life. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Yeah, if you're in doubt, the power of God doesn't flow. If you're in doubt, one of the things you must go for is conviction. Know things until you are convinced. Full, Bible uses the word being fully persuaded. Yes. Being fully persuaded. That is required. And once you've gotten to know something, declare it. The word, you know, sometimes when the Bible talks about through the knowledge of Him, you understand? That called us. That's Peter say it again. That God has given us all this. How is it again? 2 Peter chapter 1. I need to quote it properly. Something I want to just bring out from there. It's an important principle we must. He said that for by this He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become. No, sorry, let me go back up. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us. Now, that's what I want to bring out. That through the knowledge of Him, I was taught that actually the better way to translate that is through the acknowledging. Do you understand my point? That it's knowledge that you have so full that you do what? Acknowledge. So how does the power manifest? It's through you acknowledging. It's not just knowing it, but for you to get into the position of full persuasion so that you acknowledge things about God and about our Lord Jesus Christ. Like we're saying earlier, okay, very, very important that you have been set free. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. See, I'll start my message in a moment, but let's just quickly get through this. If God has given you something, your job is to do what? Take it. You have to do what? Take it. God will tell you, this is the land I've given you. I've given you the land of the Amorite. Now go in and do what? Possess the land. One of the ways you possess things in spiritual things, as spiritual things, is to acknowledge and insist and declare. I don't know which other words to use now. For example, somebody said that you're having problems because you have generational curses in your family. Now, please, let me just say this again, because sometimes people misunderstand me. I told the people, some people said I don't know African demons. Yes. Again, it's small aside in their side. If you don't understand what the preacher is saying, that is, you don't have understanding, just keep quiet. Don't use your ignorance to open your mouth and bind yourself further. How can somebody come and preach deliverance from God and you say he doesn't know spirits, African spirits? You know what happened? The spirits will be very happy. They will work stronger and bind you further. Now, you'll be praying more. A lot of people are praying and praying and praying. They are not freer than when before they started praying. One of the John G. Lake said, he went to South Africa. And he saw how the Babalawos there had power over everybody. So, he was talking to the preachers. He said, look, you guys should stand up, preach the power of God. And all these juju men, you cast the demon out of them. Pastor said, they will cast the demon out of you. Here, they were that afraid of juju men. There's one guy I stumbled into his video once in a while online. I was sharing with my wife. That guy. I don't know. He has something against this AZY and AZO case. He has something against them. He's always using them to do videos. AZY will be on the road somewhere. Say, what are you doing there? We'll slap the person. Come on, leave the road. And you know what happens? Nothing. That's why I like his videos. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. He's always doing that thing. In fact, he saw one AZY and AZO. That's what they call them. Those are Juju man and Juju woman. After slapping the guy, He told the woman, enter my car now. And left the AC working. That's why the guy makes me laugh, because he makes it clear that you guys are nothing. Now, forget he's a comedian, all right? But let's get to the real side of it. The real side is that, see, some of those guys have power. Oh, they do. A lot of them are charlatans. Just like you have false prophets, you also have false jume. I remember one of my mates sometime when I was in secondary school. So when they went to play match in secondary school match. So they went to go and do, you know, the one Nigerian coach was saying that why we lost qualifying match for World Cup. You remember that one? In secondary school, I met one guy like that. He was saying the story of how his school, they now went and met one Babalawo that did something for them. They hung it near their goalpost. As soon as, and they paid him a part payment. When the match started, they scored one goal. They failed that. The juju is working. Except that the opponents replied with two. And the game ended. So he went and met the juju man and said, the juju did not work. He was very angry. So I said, when they finished, he brought the box. They said, you hang somewhere. And kicked it and destroyed it. And destroyed it. Of course, nothing happened to him. Now I went and met the man that the juju you did for us did not work. The man said, it's supposed to work. Maybe they did something wrong. Okay. Where's his balance? Where's the balance of his payment? So the guy looked at balance of which payment. I said, we lost a match. They are telling me. So he got angry and was going. He said, the master told him that, what matter shall? You know what I mean? Okay, how do you say it in English? I will curse you, yes, and cast a spell upon you. Told the guy, go ahead. You that couldn't help me win a match. Why should I be afraid of the spell you want to cast? Most of them are fake. That's the point I'm making. But having said that, I have enough testimonies. I don't have any personal experience, but I have enough testimonies of people who have seen things like that to let you know that some of them are real. If you ever listen to Kaman's Witch's Invitation, how many of you know the Christian musician Kaman? Okay, go and search him out on your music app. It does gospel music, Kaman. It's spelled C-A-R-M-A-N. Look for this particular video or a track called Witch's Invitation. A witch invited him to his house. Now, for you to know ahead, it's based on a true story. It wasn't him. I knew the name of the preacher it happened to. But he was telling the story of another preacher. But it's a true story. But go and listen to it. Witch's Invitation by Kaman. Listen to, the track is over, it's over 30 years old. Yeah, it's very old. Okay. Witch's Invitation by Kaman. He described how a preacher, he was describing it in first person. I did this, but it was not him, like I said, it's somebody else. So this person gave the testimony. I read the story. It's a true story that a witch in his local area invited him, come to my house, come and pay me a visit. So he went. When you get there, see the guy's house looking like a horror, hammer house of horror kind of house. So the man sat him down. He opened a book and started showing him what he had done. Some of them are newspaper clippings. Maybe somebody died mysteriously. You say, yes, I was paid by this man's aunt to kill him. When he died, it showed up in the newspaper. So that's what I did. He said this guy went for an hour, showed him the kind of things he had done with his spiritual power. And he told him that, do you know, through my understanding of the dark regions, I can make you rich and cause any of your enemies to death. He now turned to the man and said, now, what can your God do to compare with this? Now, I won't tell you the rest of the story. Go and listen to the track. But where I'm going is that was based on a true story. The guy wasn't joking. The guy, he told him, I'm a male witch, a warlock. I read the testimony of a book long ago in which a woman, there are two stories, two different books. In one of them, the lady who wrote the book, don't mind me, I've read all kinds of things. She was not a repentant person. She was just writing real stories about her witchcraft. Not as if she has repented. The other story is somebody who had come out of witchcraft and is now in Christ. One during something. But by the time she wrote the book, she was a preacher. Now, when you read their stories, going by their testimonies, you will see people, see, I said in one of them, I can't remember which of the book now, one junior witch, went and got power and wanted to try it on the senior one. That senior one looked at her and used her eyes to throw her inside a wall. A senior witch used eye like this, flung her into a wall. So, well, they give you some more power, you just a flex. We have been witching before you were born. So that's how much power they had. Those powers are very, I don't want to use the word very real, but they exist somewhere, let's be like that. So when I talk the way I do, I like to emphasize to people, I'm not talking as a scientist. You know, these things are not real, you know. When you mix atoms and mix spirogyra with euglena and you put light upon them, they produce oxygen. I'm not talking as a scientist. I've seen too many things. In fact, there's a book I keep on encouraging people to read testimonies. I'm reading Catherine Kuhlman's books again and again. I like to read her books because I'm naturally trained as a doctor. So when she's telling stories, I know the conditions they're talking about. In my mind, I'm just seeing God do things. See, reading yesterday night about one woman who was telling her friend, see, it wasn't even Catherine Kuhlman, all right, or somebody else that prayed for her. That she used to have one paralysis on the eye because one doctor was doing a surgery and mistakenly caught a nerve. And that nerve was permanently dead. So for a long time, she had this particular paralysis, a part of her face. She read the word of God and somebody laid hands on her and prayed for her. And the nerves, everything went back to normal. So in my mind, I'm looking at how these things happen. How are these things happening? But they happen. So I'm not talking as a scientist, like, you know, I don't believe in spirit. I believe in spiritual power. They curse people and they die. A friend of mine told me a story of one man in the office in Lagos. You know, tussle for power. Those one traveled somewhere in the Ogun Oshun, near Yenka's village. He went and hired one baba. And somebody, the man who were there struggling with, just died mysteriously. So those ones, the family people said, no, this is not normal death. They went somewhere else. Conjured up the spirit of a man and gave him a gun to go and hunt his killers. Those guys, though, they are not joking. My guy was telling me the story. He said, you know how those two, there were two of them. You know how they died? They were driving on a Okwebi in Lagos. And armed robbers went, attacked a bank or some people. And they were trying to get away. So they were shooting randomly. These two men were inside a car, ran out, and went and laid maybe in a gutter beside it or under the car on the floor. The robbers came there, shot the two, no provocation. Shot the two of them, entered their vehicle and drove away. That's how the spirit killed them. No, and look, I'm not joking when I say they do happen. See, I'm telling the story of somebody to somebody. See, I can tell you stuff people I know directly. One brother told me that his spirit was following him, but I'm paraphrasing his story. Told him he will not live beyond a particular age. 2-3 days before he hit that age, maybe 34, 33, 33 thereabout, robber blocked him and shot him, close range, shot at him, trying to take his vehicle. He was telling me this, sitting in front of me, so you know he's not dead. So he was telling me the story. What happened? A few months or so, sometime before that time, he had given his life to Christ. And that's, nobody prayed any special prayer for him. The spirit that was following him around suddenly disappeared. He always felt somebody was following him. That person stopped. He didn't feel it anymore. A few days before he turned that particular age, they shot at him at close range. Let me make a long story short. An angel blocked the shot. We're just gisting. We're just telling him about life, looking about it, telling about different things. So those things, we're not saying, you know, these things, of course I know they are real. There's only one problem, or one fact, let me just say it. All my adult life, I've never prayed against one of them, not one, about my life, never.
Me talking to you. After telling you all this, I know they are real. I have never prayed against any one of them. All I tell them is, if you have power, try me. That's all I ever say. And if I pray more than that, God will punish me. So I don't even want to come show up in my face like this, say, Pastor Banky, I'm the warlock you heard about. We are the ones that killed that man. And when I finish, I say, are you here to give your life to Christ? That's all I will tell you. That you give me one sleepless night, God forbid. You know why? That's why I'm telling this whole story. So don't think I'm saying that I know they exist. But I know they exist below my feet. I know they exist below my feet. I know they exist below your feet. That's what I'm saying. They exist below your feet. They are below your feet. They exist too. Except that the realm in which they operate is far below the one which you and I operate. That's what I'm preaching. When I say you are free, I'm not joking. I feel sorry for people. See, fear keeps people in bondage. Do you know? Now, this, Lord forgive me, I want to say something. I fear pickpocket more than I fear witch. I apologize because I use the word fear. Honestly, I have more respect. A pickpocket can get my attention more than a witch because my phone is expensive. I don't want you to take my phone. If you tell me there are witches here, I'll just be walking freely. If there are pickpockets, I'll put my phone inside the inner, crevice of my attire. But if there are witches there, say, eh? And he say, if you go to the house of that witch, don't eat too. Why not? Just pray I'm not hungry. What if the witch poisoned your food? He will die. It's a law of God. Just pray that I'm not hungry. Because if I get there, let no good thing pass me by. I will sanctify it with the word of God and prayer. Father, I thank you for this abundant provision which you have commanded the ravens, the witches of the neighborhood to bring to me. I will eat the food. And if there's a commandment that somebody must die, the witch will die. No, yes. And there are different ways witches die. There's death by death, according to the Red Prince. The one which you cannot explain. I was telling Chichi yesterday about autopsies we have done in which you go search. In fact, my chief goes there and say, well, since you cannot find why this person died, wake him up, let him go home. It happens. But the other ways, which God kills witches. You just remove their brain. They say they touch you, something your body can vanish. You know, I've prayed the prayer to God. And please, if you have that power, please come and touch me. You won't die. You will have sudden onset dementia. Your brain will vanish. It's a prayer I pray to God. Do it for me as a favor. You will go back to your coven. And your brain is not working again. It's a prayer I've prayed. Let me go back to where I began from. Through acknowledging. Brethren, it's important you don't acknowledge nonsense. A lot of prophets are putting people in bondage. They will tell you, in your family, this and this and this and that. Oh, there's a curse working. You will come down for deliverance. You bring a special offering. You will meet at the foot of the mountain. And that kind of thing. If you go, see, I'm telling you now. First, those of you who have gone, you have never been delivered. You know. That's why you are still looking for deliverance. This is like your fifth deliverance. You know. You are thinking that it's more power you need. It's not more power. However, I'm telling Christians, if you go, that is when your problems will actually, literally commence. Before, Satan was deceiving you. You have been broke for a while. Reverend Dami, has there not been a period in your life that for 2 straight years you were broke? Okay, did you hear what he said? He said it's not too long ago it ended. And he's a man of God. So the fact that you are broke is nothing new. Why do people want to make common problems look like they're special? Anytime I start a business, it doesn't work. Uh-huh. Most businesses don't work. It's not unique to you. Don't start feeling that you're so spiritually attacked. Do you know how expensive it is to attack people? No, if I want to afflict you, the church should go and bring a goat. Why won't I eat my goat? My friend told me he used to run a clinic somewhere in Imo State. Said I had a nurse. Said that her mouth was something else. You know, there's this village carpenter, very responsible human being. He was sick, so he admitted him one day. He was not telling the nurse that he thinks people are trying to kill him. My friend said the nurse had a very sharp mouth. So he asked the man, "Do you have a wife?" The man said, "No." "So you don't have a wife, you don't have children?" He said, "No." "Do you have land, like a large plot of land?" "No." "A house?" "No." She asked him, "Whoever kills you, what would they gain?" This nurse asked this man that, "Do you know how expensive it is to kill people? They will invest money in killing you. Then, you don't have a wife for us to inherit. You don't have land for us to, you don't have money for us to share. They have not killed and goat, it's you they will kill." Why do poor, insignificant people start wanting to feel important? They want to kill you. On your street, there are people 50 times richer than you. They've not killed them. And they're not doing anything special. They're just going about, they are busy. Stop making yourself feel like... Where I'm going is that problems are commonplace in this life. If you start 5 businesses, none of them worked. You are one of the 50 people that did that in the last 5 minutes. I don't know about current statistics. Those days, when we used to read statistics from the United States, say 9 out of 10 businesses collapsed in the first 5 years. 9 out of 10 businesses that people start fail within 5 years. You know why many people think that their business is not doing well? They have a special product they've never done before. No, I'm telling you, they've never done. They've never bought and sold. They've never invested money. So they think that when they see you that's doing it, they think it's easy. It's not to buy and sell. Go and buy first. And go and sell first. So the first time they try it and it doesn't work, they think there's a special problem. No, there's not a special problem. It's a normal thing. See, it's normal. One of our brothers, the other day, he and I were talking. He told me the business he wanted to do. He may even be around, you know. We're just talking. It's okay. This is what he wanted to do and all of that. It had to do with green, all right? So he invested plenty of money and bought rice. Before it was, you know, packaged everything. Before it was time to sell, all of us know the crashing food prices that happened over the last. People don't talk much about it, but food prices kept on dropping. Kept on dropping. It caught him. He had invested a lot of money. So now, last time he and I were talking, I said, "So how far? How's that your business?" "Yeah, see what happened though." I said, "What are you now doing about it?" He said, "No, that he's kept his stock. Waiting for prices to stabilize." I said, "No, they won't. Sell now. Take your loss now. Now. He thanked me and went and did that. The price have halved since that time. I had enough experience. I said, no, don't. I said, even if you were to go further down, then restock. Some people think that was just buy a keep. You say, so have you heard it? Invest in land. Go now. You, I know people have sworn to taught their children, if I see you near land, don't even step on it. Don't walk on it. Just walk. Because land, investment, and speculation have almost, that is, you see, it's not the same land that somebody said, "I bought here for 500,000. Now it's 50 million. That happened. The neighborhood where I live, the first time we were offered land in that area was 500,000. By the time I bought, it was 12 million. Right now it's 50. All of it in the space of maybe 15 years. Yet, I have seen land. Somewhere, let me not mention somewhere else. If you calculate for inflation, those who bought it, they kept losing money every day. Remember that one your wife was trying to sell?
Oh my, you remember that one?
Stop. That is, you'll be surprised. See, there's no, this is my life. God taught me long ago, banking. No, there's no way. Do this one, you'll make money. Most of the thing you make is trouble. Ask those who invest. Most times what they make is, and those of you are foolish enough to be doing cryptocurrency and forex trading. I know your brain is not working. Because I've warned you enough to know that it's a stupid way to go. But they won't listen. You know you have never made money. You know. A friend of mine, the other, hey, I'll get to my message in a moment. Let's just, it's the beginning of the year. I know, I'm talking about you are free and that having problems is not a sign that you are bound. Just, that's why I went to that. I know that. Friend of mine, the other day, I asked him, hey, how's your daughter? Because there was something about it. How's your daughter? I said, oh, she's fine. I said, has she finished school now? Hey, he said, my brother, come and see you. That this girl abandoned school. He said, but now she's back trying to finish. I said, why? He said, he went into forex trading. Now, listen to what I said. Listen to what I said. I said, how much has she lost? I didn't say, how is he doing? I just said, how much has she lost? He said, no, she's doing okay. I said, no, it's not possible. He said, okay, actually, she doesn't trade, she teaches. I said, hey, now you know. No. He said, she's doing okay. How can she be doing it? It's not possible. He said, okay, actually, she doesn't trade the forex. She teaches. So they go around holding seminars, and moguls like you will pay. So all the money they are getting is from that. So they are not really trading. They are teaching you how to trade. Trade they never traded. And she was making it big. I said, hey, now it makes sense. That was when one brother, I shall not mention his name because an elder in the Lord. Somebody went and gave him money to invest. Is he crypto elder? I don't know where you are sitting though. He said, Pastor, it's prayer I used to deliver myself. He said, I prayed and prayed until I got my money back and gave the owner of the money. He said, they persuaded me. I persuaded somebody who trusted me. Now I go God. Say, Father God, alas, it was borrowed. You know, the axe head. God said, okay, I will forgive you this time. The Lord helped him recover his money. Give, he said, go and give the owner back. After that, when he say, crypto, he said, you know why they call it crypto? It's hidden. Leave it. Leave me alone. Listen, for every one crypto millionaire you hear of, there are 10,000 that are crypto wrecked. They are crypto wrecked. I don't want to talk about economics now, all right? It's not part of my message. What I'm telling you is that don't somebody come and tell you. You see young people, that's what makes me laugh. Small boys. They want to make it big. And the way to make it big is crypto trading. In case you did not know, it is you they are trading. You. You that is, you are the product. They are scamming you. It's like those who want to make it through betting. They are the most foolish human beings God has existing on this earth right now. Yeah. When you are talking about foolish people, they are in grades. The lowest of the low are those who bet. You wake up in the morning and then you put some money somewhere and it will multiply fivefold, tenfold. You actually bet. So young of you, you are listening to me. Some of you that God is going to punish for stubbornness, you are listening. This African Cup of Nations, every day you are putting a bet on one and you are surprised that Nigeria is not even losing. After they couldn't qualify because of juju. According to their coach for World Cup. Then they went to the African Cup of Nations. And they've not lost one match. They've not even, have they drawn any? No draw. Trust me. And you were betting against them. Because I will punish you for betting against your country. There are those who use borrowed money to bet, hoping that when they win, they'll quickly pay back. You are one of, they're a fool. I try not to use the word fool, but I just saw that Solomon used it for you. You know, God used it for you so many places. Who am I to go against God? I'm quoting what the Lord said about you. You're not only a foolish person, you're a fool. You took borrowed money to bet. What will you not tell the owner of the money? When I become president, I'm going to ban all those betting people in Nigeria. You say, when is that? I don't know.
But what kind of nonsense is that? And you're joining. Why am I saying this? Please. 2026 for you, young man, is not the year of breakthrough. What are you Where are you going? I can tell some of these old men is year of breakthrough. All you young, young boys, if you are below 25, 2026 is for a year of labor. A year of difficulty. A year of learning from experience. Why should you hammer? You're an idiot. Why should you hammer? Carpenter. Why should you hammer? 2026 is a year of making somebody else rich. It's a year of waking up early. Getting down to the market, sweeping the place, and serving somebody else. If they buy you motor, can you fuel it? I'm talking to young people this morning. I said, you went for a night vigil. Say, declare what God will do for you this year. And you went and said, God, I will become rich this year. I came to give you the answer of God. That was what you said. This is what God said. No. I will make you work this year. I will make you responsible this year. Listen to this. I will make you dependable this year. By the end of 2026, you will be like Joseph in the house of Potiphar. People will be able to sleep knowing that you are the one in charge. That's what I'm doing. I'm not giving you money. They will owe you money. I will not let you resign. They owed Jacob. Couldn't resign. After all, right now, I give you a name. I'm talking to some people. There's one guy, you know what he wanted and did? One musician, he tattooed on his face, slave. Wait, don't squeeze your face because I want to tattoo some people right now. You that I'm talking to, thus says the Lord, this year you'll be a slave. Yeah, I know what I said. The people I'm talking to, young, because this year, your year of slavery. Now, not slavery in a bad way. Nobody's going to beat your back. But even though if it's necessary, we'll beat it. But not likely if you behave yourself. When I say slave, it's a year in which you labor and all your labor will go to somebody else's house. And all they give you is food. Basic clothing. And thus says the Lord, you must be happy. That the most important thing concerning a man's life, woman too, it's not what he gets for what he does, but what he becomes by it. Yeah. I was listening to somebody, listening to one message. Can't remember. I listened to all kinds of things. So, one man was preaching. He said, when you work for somebody, you are the one becoming stronger. Did you get that? Not the person you are working for. If I tell you, carry this load from downstairs for me, bring it up. The man said, you have carried my load, but you have become stronger. And God said, what I'm doing to you is making you stronger. You think I'm making you rich? No, I'm not trying to make you rich. Well, relax. Rich for you is too early. At this time, Abba, you've not trekked from here to 9 miles, and I should make you rich. How will your life go, and you've not trekked that distance? No, you won't be strong. If you don't check it now, by the time you are 55, you will be weak. So the Lord said, this year I have to make you check it. It may not be because lack of money. It's just because you'll be inspecting one pool to the next. Before you finish, is the job they'll give you. Before you know what's happening, you walk. Because by the time you wake up, your energy. And all you are doing is inspecting polo. When you reach there, finally, when you're panned like this, your guy will not drive down. You'll be trekking down. He will not drive down and say, ha, you are still here. Because if you answer him roughly, say, yes, sir, we started a bit late, sir. We are moving. You will not say, okay, I bought okpa. You give you okpa and pure water. Because, yeah, give thanks. 5 minutes before you start eating. Father, I thank you. Remembered me. As I was about to faint, I got food and I'm not having to sell my birthright for it. Oh Lord, we worship you. I'm describing 2026 for some people. I know many of us went to church and say, this year, God will remember you. God said, I never forgot you. See,
That prophecy is not for you. I did not forget you. I'm working on you. I'm working on you. See, you're a lazy person before. I told you, my wife had a corp member, a corp, like we call them in Nigeria, NYC. That guy, and a lot of people are like that. Funny enough, he was raised by his brother, not like his father and mother. He was the elder brother. But you know, it's a very common problem in our country. When it's time to come to, go to school, you call your uncle. You call your, you know, your brothers and all of that. And they give you money. And you, it's an entitlement, huh? Because they have businesses, they have work they are doing now. You are the one that's a student. Is it them? So that's how he went to school. He didn't know how lazy he was. He did not know. NYC, they posted him to come and work for my wife. Now, my wife is made of V6 engine. I mean, it's V8. She's V8 engine. If you have worked with her before, you know. She's V8 engine. Okay? Oh. Reverend Yenkai says V12. V24. Ah. He must say it's heavy duty. She is. So lazy man can't jam heavy duty, madam. The guy one day opened his mouth and told my wife that this kind of work he doesn't understand. That his mates are in, is it local government? That they are not doing anything. My wife said, well, this is not local government. Here, you will do something. Madam, please reject me. I'm going. He said, no, I'm not rejecting you. You are going to stay here. You are going to work. And if you misbehave, and NYC, you are allowed to do that. You write query submit to the, they will give him extension. I say, the guy looked like, which kind wahala be this? She harassed him about his, an unblack guy. Do you understand my point? Did you hear what I said? The way he said the L and R, you know, like he has, you know, he has powers, he has to release, you understand? Release, exactly. Yes. The guy is a lion himself. So, you get what I'm saying? My wife will harass him on that. Tell him to pronounce his L. You know, it is not, you know, those kind of things. Because they were doing educational stuff. Now, why am I telling the story? He finished the NYC, he left. Then one day, my wife's phone rang. He was the one. Madam, how now? Ah, long time. I just said, let me call you and greet you. What was the call of the reason for the call? He went back home, and that his brother I was telling you about owned a business. So before his brother was watching him. So he came back to live with his brother. Early morning, he would have woken up, dressed up, and gone to the brother's office. So brother is looking at him. He will walk morning till evening. Then he will come home. Next day, maybe the brother had a car. He wake up, wash the car, and leave the brother and go to the office. I think when it was the market or somewhere. So one day the brother called him and said, come. What's going on? Maybe wondering that, are you trying to do something? You know the thing? The guy did not know he was doing it. No, that's where I'm going. He wasn't aware he was doing these things. He was just living his transformed life. So his elder brother was watching, now came, called him. What's going on? That you that I know, you're a lazy man. So that was when the guy now released him. He said, is the madam I worked for during NYSC? She's the one that did this to me. That was when he now called my wife and said, madam, I just want to say thank you for that experience. Because his own brother testified that you're not the man I used to know. So those of you that went for breakthrough night, you know, into New Year, and you now sold 2,026 naira. Some of you did that. Or your pastor engaged it and said 2,026 is not a lot. You put zero after it. If you want multiplied blessing, you multiply the 2,026. And that became 20,260. And those who want it to be bigger, 202,600. Some of you did it. You were fooling yourself in case you did not know. Yeah, I'm being honest with you. That's how we raise money. We have to find something. How can you come to 2026 and you didn't pay God? We have to. Me, I don't fall for those scams. God has blessed me. As you are doing it, I'll tell you, it's a lie. You will say to God, leave that thing. But one man did, he was blessed. God wanted to bless the man before. It's not that 2,000 naira you sold. By the way, God is not counting years the way you are counting it.
Yes, sir.
Where am I going? So you were sowing seeds so that 2026 go big. God said, no, there's no seed you want to sow. It won't be big. It's your year. Now, please, this is not for everybody. I'm talking to some people. Because it's your year of labor. I will tattoo on your face spiritually, slave. Now, being a slave is not something that we are, no. In that case, go and see, Paul used to call himself the slave of Christ. He said it with pride. But what do I mean by it this time around? It's not slavery to the world. It's not slavery to Satan. It's not slavery to bondage. Bondage of the flesh, bondage of enemy. I'm talking about slavery to the plan of God. Because you see, this period there, just relax. There are people that say, this I have told God, before this year is over, God said, no. That motto, I'm not giving you. That house, I'm not giving you. Don't worry about it. I had believed God, before the end of this year, I'll be married. Because you see, year is not a problem with me. And there's a woman I'm talking about. You know what the Lord is saying? I don't have any son I want to punish to give you. All my children around you are good people. Yeah. And there's nobody online for punishment. Because any husband I give you now, his life will be miserable. All the boys I have around, they are busy. They are facing their destiny. They are obeying me. I will now look for one of them, take him out of the course of eternal destiny to come and be your husband. What kind of father do you think I am? People are setting dates for God. The Lord say, you don't understand anything. Setting dates. You. What I'm concerned about, what are you becoming in that date you are setting? What are you doing in prayer where I say, in the name of Jesus? See, and that's what I want to teach this year. That's what the Lord laid upon my heart. He said, you know what? Ask yourself, what are good wives like? If a man marries me, how blessed will he become? That's what you should be asking yourself. That's you go and study scripture. Don't be explaining. One woman was explaining where my wife was. My wife had to come home and say, my husband, maybe you are the Bible teacher. Maybe I'm not. I don't understand what they're saying. That they say Sarah was a weak person. Yeah. A woman, preacher woman, trying to explain that Sarah was docile. She was compliant. Ask my wife. My wife was confused because the person talking is kind of senior. So she came home and said, I don't understand though. I'm coming from where we had a discussion. And all somebody did was to undermine the character of Sarah. The one you read about in your Bible. I'm telling you. She came home and was like, excuse me, I don't get it. Is there something I'm missing? Because the Sarah I used to know in my Bible, she was an example. She was set as an example for us to follow. And for information, not only for wives, but for anybody under authority. Somebody went there, undermined her. My wife came home, she was confused that I don't get it. So I told my wife, I said, observe her life. Is it the kind of person you should follow? My wife got a point. I said, I believe her. This was the reason why she and her husband could not live together. I said, so leave that. Yeah. Well, my wife said it's true. I said, that's why. With this kind of attitude, two captains in one boat. So I told my wife, I said, please don't get into argument. And then sometimes people start arguing against scripture because scripture has a way of going against the flesh. And the stronger the flesh is in your life, the more difficult it is to agree with scripture. I saw a man once, he said, when the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know what it means? Your anger must remain hot. Precious, it's not your fault. Even that man is confused. The man said, the Bible says that don't let the sun go down your anger. It means that your anger must have sun on it all the time. It must be fair. Now, he first uses it in a good way. That is, be angry with the devil all the time. That makes sense? Except that, say, when you see a criminal, shoot him. You know what I'm saying? Because the flesh finds it hard to agree with scripture. So anytime the flesh, all right, starts acting up, you have to turn the scriptures around to say what it does not say. Yeah, that's the only thing you can do. For example, if you love money, you will see how God says you should be rich all over the Bible. You will see how every seed must produce a harvest all over the scripture. And the problem is not the interpretation of the scripture. You know, I've said it before. It's not intellectual rigor, accuracy of letter calculation. It's where the heart is. If the heart is set on eternal things, you won't see those in the scripture. But when your heart is set on temporal things, when your success is measured by houses and cars, bank balances and human connections, you will find it in the scripture. And that's why God doesn't argue. He says, bank, relax. No need for argument. Where's the heart? If the heart is in the right place, you won't have to argue all these arguments. If the heart is in the wrong place, argue from now to tomorrow. You can't convince the person. Back to, you know why we began that? The person said that at the end of this year, I go marry. God said, the word has gone forth. Yes, end of this year, you will marry. But what do I call year? It's not 12 calendar months. It's not 365 days. It's the period it takes for me to remove this Ogboju Jaguda attitude out of your heart and replace with the heart of Sarah. That's what I call year. So that's why you understand that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. So God says a day for you can become 1,000. Be stubborn. Don't worry, we'll be here for a long time. My name is Ancient of Days. I'm not in a hurry. The key to change is personal transformation. See, it's not how long you... A lot of prayers are misused. Let me go into that for a moment. I sat the other day, I was watching some people pray. And when I saw them praying, I wondered whether Michael Jackson is doing moonwalk across the stage. I said, bro, this is not prayer. This is youthful exuberance. Yeah. It's just small campus boys that they will be doing somersaults to pray. It's good. Because if you don't do somersaults in church, where will you now do it? We want you to become to church. So you must do everything. So if you want to dance to pray, Father, we bless your name right now. We just bless you. Oh, we are blessing you. If I see it, I won't be angry. Because better to dance in church than in a nightclub. So, but if you tell me this is prayer, I say, bro, don't insult my intelligence. It's not prayer. It's youthful exercise. And it's good. Please, when you see young people carrying chairs on their head, today we are going to pray. We will not sleep. Put your chair on your head. Don't be angry with them. You know, I will not put my chair on my head. Not because it's wrong, just it's not necessary. But you can't have the energy of an 18-year-old and you won't carry chair on your head. No, you have to. The real thing about prayer, that's where I'm going, is how it's transforming you, not how long you... You know, this counting of hours, please don't get into it. There was one I saw the other day, I think my children on their DP. One guy said, how Pentecostals pray? Young guy said, Father, today we are going to pray. And the Lord is looking like, hey, wait. You will bless me. This year you will bless me. The guy talked and talked and talked. God tried to put a word in. The Lord could not. And what I was like, there's one he's not finished praying. God said, look, have you finished? He just got up and walked away. They now call one sister. What's the name of that sister? Okay. Maybe, Sister Philo. Hey, I just finished 2 hours on the mountain. 2 hours. And God was looking like, 2 hours? I couldn't tell you anything. Let me drop a tip for you this year when you want to pray. Always have a Bible in your hand. When you want to pace up and down, this is how you should pace up and down. Then do like this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just open random to one psalm and read it out. See, the tongues you are speaking is very good. Amen? But let's come to an agreement. Is it okay? 30% tongues, 30% scripture reading, then 30% petitions, thanksgiving, requests in your understanding. That's 33. Let's just make it 3, you know. At least, it's okay. Man of God, is that okay? Let's just manage that one. Then as time goes on, you can adjust it. The one that you enter, 1 hour. And you leave the lane. No, that's not prayer. Let's not deceive ourselves. Please, it's not. Okay, at least just humor me. Before you start that one, spend 1 hour reciting the scriptures. I particularly like Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to talk about it this year. All right? Go from around that verse 17 and read all the things God says you will not do anymore. You will not lie. You will not defraud people. Code that in, for the first 1 hour in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, I begin to seek the things that are above, not the things that are beneath, because my life is hid with Christ in God. I seek eternal things. Something like that. Before you say, Lord, you shall bless me. Wait, God, you shall purify me. You shall put your tongue, that is, you shall take, the angel shall take that tongue and take a coal of fire and touch my lips, and my lips shall be purified. Do you get my point? That's prayer. In the name of Jesus, I am being changed. I'm more generous before than right now than I was before. In the name of Jesus, I'm more forgiving. I don't take offense. I have patience. I have love. I have kindness. What I've told you will produce more results than you're not a machine gun. You're not a machine gun. Can we agree on that?
Yes,
I'm not sure you should do what you want to do. Before you do, just first do my own first. Abi? No, open to it. Ephesians chapter 4. We are just greeting each other. We're not there preaching for the year. In all of that, I began by trying to emphasize to you that you are not bound. Remember that? That having problems is not a sign of bondage. Problems shape you in life. There are times that God doesn't see, doesn't fix a problem for you suddenly. He doesn't. You know why? I know people preach faith, some they don't like this. But that's childish faith. That's childish faith. Real faith understands this thing I'm trying to say. There are times God will take the problem and walk you through them. Through different stages in it. You walk through all the stages, bit by bit. You know why? Because each stage must teach you something. And one of the things you will learn later in life is patience. You know, my wife, the other day, something led to it. I can't remember exactly what we're talking about. She said that my husband, it looks like prosperity is more dangerous than poverty. I said, oh, you're just discovering. You're just discovering. You see, you just observe something. You say, hey, this prosperity is wicked, though. More people backslide because of prosperity than poverty. No, poverty, you come to church. You repent of your sins. Prosperity has a way of funding your iniquity and making you to prosper in disobedience. Many times, all God is doing, what you call problems, God called it training school. Do you know there's eternal value in your life? That means, let me put it like this. There are eternal qualities that have to be produced in you that must survive transition from the temporal to the spiritual. What I'm trying to say, it must survive the death process. That is, when this physical world expires, you as a person will still continue to live. You know that? Yeah. The only thing that will survive it is things that God buried or developed inside your soul. Yeah. For example, if you learned patience, it will survive. If you learned kindness, joy, peace. But do you know what? Your money will not survive. It won't make that transition. It will not. So with the Lord, that thing he's developing in you is more important. So I'll give an example. You have problems. Prudence is a spiritual trait. You know that. And God says, now, I could easily give you 10 million naira a month. Not an issue. I could easily. There's only one problem. You will never learn prudence. It can't be taught to you with theory. You know, in economics, who knows the definition of economics? You are a professional. No, I'm not asking you. I want these young people. Okay, tell us. Let's not waste time. It's very correct, too. What he wants to say is correct. Go and say it. Listen carefully. What you have said is very correct, like I said, but it's hard to understand. Say it the way we can understand. It's very right. I knew we'll get it right. But please say it in the way we can understand it. There's a very simple way of saying it. What he said is that it's human behavior, which, what did he say? Human behavior. Yeah, study. Assimilation. Okay, so, all right. I don't use the word ends normally. When I use ends, it's adjective. But you are using it now as a noun. No, as a verb. I use it as a verb, but you are using it as a noun. Okay, so, but which have alternative uses? Why do you have to speak King James when you can speak the New Living Translation? Let me now tell you the New Living Translation of what he said. He said it in King James English. All right. What he said is that there's resources. You have money. All right. And then there's needs. That the resources you have relative to the needs is scarce. So economics is how you use scarce resources. All right. To meet all the needs. Or actually, they use the word wants rather than needs. Because human beings respond to wants, not to needs. Yeah, human beings behave funny. Human beings are a crazy set of human people. Yeah, they respond to what they want, not what they need. They need Jesus Christ, but they want money. Do you follow? They need eternal life, but they want money. So, economics is this. It's how you arrange your scale of preference. How you take the little money you have. You are a father in the home. All you have coming to you every month is 250,000 naira. There are three children. You and your wife combined income, 250K. In naira of today. So economics is how you now draw your scale of preference. Put money where? Am I saving? Am I investing in this? Am I buying this? That's economics for you. That's what he just told us. Scarce resources. Abundant ones. How do you arrange it? As simple as it is, do you know God wants you to learn it? If all your wants in this life come up to 1 million naira a month and God gives you 1.5 million naira a month, there are things you will never learn. You will know how to develop priorities. You will throw money at every problem. You will not know how to tell your flesh no. And experience has shown us that any child you train without learning how to tell the flesh no can never be responsible. Never. You see, it's not, see, parents, just learn it now. It is good that your children are not used to being rich. Somebody explained something about a group of Americans that since time they are young, that one of the reasons why they are generally successful financially is that the parents, since time they are young, they taught them or they teach them regularly how to earn everything. So the boy decides that he needs a new PlayStation. The father could easily buy it. But the father will say, a new PlayStation, that's going to be $400. So what are you going to do? So the boy has to sit down. All right, during the long holiday, he's going to weed the neighbor's compound, $2. So the boy is calculating 200 compound weeding. Do you understand? How will he go around it? So his father is helping him. All right. Okay, maybe you should add car washing to it. Okay, I'll subsidize the whole thing. I'll give you $200. You just need to earn 200. Even though this man is a millionaire. But he said, no, I won't give it. But not because he couldn't, pay for it. But he said, look, The boy has to learn value. Earlier, I was talking with one of our sisters, was telling me, we were just discussing about some people's issues. Told me about the family, that the monthly allowance they give a young man is 10 million naira. I know some of you are thinking that, Pastor, if you give me 10 million naira in a year, Peter and Bar will know I'm in this city. But it's a monthly allowance, automatic. One day I gave my children, how much was it that time? I think it was like 20K each, something like that. They called, said, what is the money for? Their brother said, daddy said it's good children that is acknowledging good behavior. Hey, this daddy is correct though. Yeah. 20K. It's not school fees money. It's not transport money to school. It's not to go to Bible study on time. Just eat the ordinary 20K. Yet one young man is collecting 10 million of that same naira every month. Do I need to tell you he's on drugs? No, I don't need to. You know why? No, see, it's because that amount of money does not allow you discipline the flesh. One of the things you must learn in this life is how to tell flesh no. Sometimes those who train dogs, they will starve a dog, then put food in front of it. And one of the training is that you're hungry or not hungry, you can't eat it. Part of their training. The minute the dog has not eaten, you now put food there. That he's been trained that he only eats as a signal. Yeah. So that if you enter that compound, you can't drug the dog. Yeah, you can't throw a piece of meat. No, he will go after it. No. He would rather go after you and chew you. Most dogs, they just, once you enter there, whoa, whoa, you throw them chicken. Bro, they're not the house, just continue your business there. They are there eating the chicken. But some of the trained guard dogs not to eat such chicken. So, see, parents, you understand this. And it's just not for children, it's all of us. God, see, one of the things God does is that, see, I'm going to bless you in this life. But money is a God. Now, let me tell you about money, for those who don't know. Money is a God. And you know what a God is? I'll tell you. It's someone that gives you ability and gives you direction. Yeah, and commands your attention. Money can wake you up in the morning. So look at your house, and you look at the house. Nice house, oh. 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. Beautiful. Then I show you neighbors, and look at where your neighbor is. Is he better than you? Your neighbor has a newer house, more beautiful house. The houses you get to. You know, the other day, for the first time, I never seen it before. You know that fridge? I won't lie to you. Do you know I wanted it too? It's nice. You want to check what's in the fridge? Which drink do you like? He tapped the fridge. The fridge lit up and became transparent. So you don't have to open it to check what is there. Just tap the fridge like this. Phew! Bam! You can see the whole of inside. You look up and down. You look up and down. So that's what I want. You open it, just take that one, close that. But you know you now, you open free, you go there, they inspect. All the code that the fridge has calculated for the last 1 hour, you just flow out. Then when you finish, you finally pick one Sprite and close the bag. Then the fridge will start again to cool down. Some people now develop technology that just tap it, tap, to just light up. Some, I've not seen that one, I've seen it on adverts. Some, they actually have a camera inside that just show you everything. But this one's simple, just goes transparent. I say, eh? So next time I came to my house, I looked at my fridge, opaque. So you look at the fridge, why is this fridge opaque? So you give me the kick, you guys have. Let me tell you, in this life, long ago, God just taught me that it's a bank here. If you are pursuing people, you never stop in this life. No matter where you reach, somebody's in front of you. Now, God, see, what I told you now is something that God, He wants developed in you. He said it must be developed. So, do you know the time He does it? No, those things are not done in the time of prosperity. Let me tell you about something about life. Please, if you think you're in a lean stage in life, listen to me carefully. It is because God is preparing you for a time of abundance. And He said, this is now when you will learn. It is now you will learn how you will live the time of abundance. Don't discard the lessons you learn during the days of smallness when you become abundant. Please, listen to what I said. This is what God told Israel. He gave them, you know where He gave them the law? In the wilderness. He didn't give them the law in the promised land, though. He gave them the law when? In the wilderness. When there was nothing else to do but to learn the law. Because once you become abundant, learning law is hard, though. No, learning laws that time is very hard. It's the time of leanness, the time of smallness, you will learn what is right to do. As I'm talking about, just giving the example of this money issue and all of that. God will say, this 250 you and your family are managing now. A time will come, I'll make it, your income will be nothing less than 25 million every month. But I will teach you discipline now. It's not everything your child, at that time, you know, there are parents who, they behave like they hate children. But they think it's love. Small aside again, let the Bible define things for you. You know what the Bible says? The father that does not chastise the child does what? Hates the child. Now, he thinks he's love. Oh, well, Junior, sorry. God said, if you really love Junior, when you tell him don't go out and he went out, apply something to his butt. A stinging principle. Factory reset. Kubokos you have not yet used. Now that's what God said. Apply it. Apply it. You know what He says? It's a sign of love. He said, if you don't do it, you hate that child. That's what He said. See, get my point. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what the Word of God, what the Spirit of God inspired people like Solomon to write. That he that does not chastise the son hates that son. A lot of parents behave as if they hate their children. Latest phone, you have money you bought for him. They say, okay, you are rich. See, dropping money for a new, for the S26 Ultra or iPhone 17 Pro Max is not an issue for you. But God says, don't. You bought him an A50-something. The Lord said he must use it for 4 years. I know you're a billionaire. It's nothing. Don't worry. Do you know Warren Buffett? At the time, he was the richest man. Always amongst the world's richest men. The greatest investor of all time. Is it the sage or the oracle of Omaha, they call him? Very wise investor. He has lived in the same house for 30-something years. Or is it 40-something? Eh? For over 40 years, he has lived in the same house. Me preaching to you can't do it. I will get that kind of money. This man, one of the richest men that ever lived on this earth, he has lived in the same house for over 40 years. Driven the same car. For like 12 years. Yeah. I think it's more than 12 years. He doesn't change his cars like that. The old man doesn't understand. And eats junk food. Oh, you know, people say that eat junk food so you will die early. The man is 90-something. He doesn't have time for all this what you're saying. What he eats is junk food. He said the kind of junk depends on how he's feeling that day. But what it does is eat junk food. I'm not saying you should eat junk food, though. I'm just, you eat properly, dice your vegetables, cook it at home, you know, use olive oil, do all those healthy things. You'll still die, but just behave like you will live forever. Do you get my meaning? People think that their diet is to keep them alive. Leave that thing. People who diet, they die. Those who don't, they die. If you don't, just obey the word of God. Are you getting my point? Be a moderate person. Don't be following a kind of diet fads. Is that okay? Just be a moderate person, all that you do. And that's part of the things God is teaching you. That's what I'm talking about. Many parents behave as if they hate their children. And then, you know, please, I need to say some of these, I didn't think I should have to be saying them. Yeah, you know. I just feel like dropping this. From the time my children were babies, I just feel like saying it. They've drank the water that everybody drank in the house. Some people, they're going to be buying special bottled water because they born new picking. My wife told my children, since they were born, you're not going to give me a work that God didn't give me. Any water I drink, you shall drink. Just feel like telling some people. I see poor people. That's the one that pays me. Poor people will be buying expensive things. Rich people don't even buy them. Because the most important thing about wealth is wisdom. It's not cash. Let me just drop this. All my children are big now. I thank God for that. Never bought expensive cereal. Never bought expensive baby formula. Never. As a law. So those high-class baby formula that they buy, I never bought it in my life. I always bought the simple, reasonable, if you have to buy baby formula, baby milk. For those who don't know what they call formula, it's baby milk. All right? Bought the normal, simple one. When I said, well, no, this, let me know, they market anybody. Hey, no, this kind of thing. My baby only this one. My baby, these babies, now they are big boys. Routinely, they eat pap. Routinely, at this is not the only dry one with my wife did is because when you have to go out, pap is a bit difficult to get. You know what she used to buy the pap? Oh no, Asata. Yeah. Just buy dawa. You know, those one, yes. You now see people struggling to make ends, they now enter shop and be pricing things they made in Switzerland. Your baby is not white. Why are you pretending? You born for Enugu, you want chop for Switzerland. Are you mad? What's wrong with people? No. Somebody said, God bless Mrs. Bank. God bless Mrs. Bank. That area, oh no, she don't give me that. And she used to say, like, what kind of nonsense is this? Now, I don't mean to make her look important. My wife didn't grow up managing money. The first day I entered her house, I almost fell back. They said, pass through the back. I went there. What did I see? Swimming pool. In the back of their house. That's how she grew up. So don't think that it's poverty of childhood that's worrying her. No. If you say, okay, describe the house. Where do you get it? When I enter. I read it. But one day I told one man to drop me. I traveled. So I didn't go in my car. So I told a taxi man to drop me. So, you know, I took a taxi to get to the house. After we had married. The taxi man, someone got to the gate. He horned. I said, no, don't worry, I'll come down here. He said, may I go inside now? I said, no, don't worry, I'll come down at the gate. You know what he said? It's not a hotel. He saw my father-in-law's house. He thought it was a hotel. The size of the house. I looked at the man. I said, okay, now person house. He said, eh. I said, wait at the gate. Just give me my bag. Let me come down. He thought he needed to drive in. The, you know the way it is? I said, no, it's somebody's house. And to not make it worse, I think it was festival period, so there was decoration here and there. It all was a hotel. That was the house I met her in. So when she's giving baby pap, it's not poverty. It's discipline. It's wisdom. You grew up in a block of six flats. Yeah, they marry you now, you born Pekin. You can't have peace. You spend 10,000 naira in 2 days to buy cereal. And you're wondering why God is tired of blessing you. Because they bless and because I'm frustrated. Who says I'm frustrated? It's every little money I give this one. You go waste time. Waster. Wasted because he wants to feel important. Some people, poverty is inside their head. So they have this inferiority complex, always trying to do. Always trying to do. Always trying to do. Just look and they say, see, no matter how much you try to do, we know you. You are not rich. Don't pretend. Why are you trying to pretend? Why are you pretending? So there are things you do. Just make sure you make sure God is tired of you. I say, who's praying there? He says, just find, he says, Eve, the ones that pray. I said, but find out something, let her go. He said, why? He said, she doesn't say serious prayer points. Anytime I see her, I know her neighbor has bought something. I don't know what it is. Just, I just felt like telling that story this morning. So it wasn't at all. My wife just looked at what is it? Because, of course, she was even blessed to now marry a man who had understanding. So I tell her, I said, all this is a hypo. Your babies are small. What they need is breast milk. What we just need is to add some energy to it. So my wife would gladly make, they just used to insist on dawa, you know, dawa, the millet, so because it has more this thing. That's what they, and look at all of them. Look at how handsome they are. The other day, my mother saw my son. He said, he's so handsome. That's his grandmother. He said, oh, that's big. He said, ah, he's so handsome. As babies, you feed dawa. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know why I said all of that? There are things God wants to train you with. That's what I'm making. There are things he wants to train. See, so in the time of leanness, don't worry. People worry too much. Even though your beginning is small, thus says the Lord, your latter end shall greatly increase. Don't worry. Oh God, I feel like saying so. Don't worry. Don't worry. People worry too much. Don't worry. Don't worry. See, instead of praying, more money, more money, more money, God said, settle down. Prove to me you are a faithful servant. You are a faithful manager of resources. That's what I want. Like I was saying earlier, I know you are very rich. Your son is 17. Your daughter is maybe 16, whatever. You bought him a phone. God said, don't buy him the most expensive. There's a reason why. Don't. And make sure he uses it for 4 years. If he comes one day and says, Kai, my good friend in school, I wanted to call him, but his phone is not working. And you say, okay, you want to dash him this one. Okay, allow him. Then replace it. Don't just say, no. The latest iPhone is out. And you buy just because you have money. You are teaching him to be indisciplined. And that's what I don't understand. You are teaching him to be indisciplined. I know you can afford it. You don't use money to buy problems. You find young men that they have no self-control simply because they grew up rich. That's why my wife said, they said, she just observed that it looks like this prosperity is more of a problem. It's more of a problem. Because the young man, he's been so abundant in his life. And so this responsibility you have as a parent that's rich is to make sure that abundance around him does not become a problem. Because Charlie said something one day, once preacher as customers of Madoka. His children went to school in the Unilag. Yeah, I think it's Unilag. You know how rich the man is? Okay. And he deals not only with he rich, he deals in cars. He refused to give his boys cars. On campus, enter campus shuttle. I heard him say it. The son one day come, he said, oh, you want girls following you because your father is rich? He said, no. Go to school. I was even surprised. You know, some of us would be surprised his son went to Unilag. I don't know how many of them. University of Lagos. Some people think it's a sin. Sometimes I hear people testify, praise God. I was just, I know that the admission was coming up. I began to pray. And you're looking at the person, admission coming up in America. And you're praying, and you're giving us, I'm sorry to say, please, I don't mean any insult. I find those testimonies very annoying. I find them annoying. I was just believing God. And $2,000 now came to my house, in my hand. I was not believing God. I was believing God. Initially, my son's school was worth $15,000. I finally managed to pay. Praise God. I praise God because he must be praised all the time, but not because of your foolishness. See, we are not there preaching. We are still gisting. I will tell you what we are going to preach. Let's just be gisting. Yeah. See, let me tell you. It's a testimony. I'm a very blessed person. Now, there are different. When I say I'm blessed now, I don't mean that you find a lot of money with me. That's not what I mean. That's part of it. God does give me money. Okay? But I think one of the greatest things he has given me in life, two of them, is wisdom and contentment. I'm a low-cost person. Yeah, generally. I'm very low-cost. I was jabbing my children the other day, two of them, Victory and Nomena. I said, your two of you, your school fees put together, can't buy my car tire. And their university. My car tires. If I have to change my four tires, I was yapping them. Your school fees, the tuition, can't buy my tires and fill my tank. Thank God for the federal government of Nigeria, because they go to the federal university. And you know what? The degree they are going to get is as good as anyone from anywhere in the world. Let me just tell you now. I was helping the oldest one. I said, from starting school, you finish master's. He has finished his master's program. I said, all the money I paid. We did a rough estimate at that time. Tuition, just tuition alone. It's not up to an average private university. It's not up to 1 year tuition. No, it's not. He has a master's now in architecture. So, and can carry it anywhere in the world. So when I see people sometimes, and I think God did that for me partly, there are many reasons. Partly to show people an example. Relax with your life. I don't understand. I'm not ashamed of it though. I celebrate it. So if you say, I believe in God, you'll be looking at people who are going to school abroad. You've not finished first degree. God is frustrated with blessing some people. They are high demand. You know, I teach medical students. So I make a joke. For those who don't know, there's what they call heart failure. It's a condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough to meet the needs of the body, even though it's getting enough blood. All right? That's the definition for it. You see the way I made this simple now. I told you to define economics. You went to Switzerland and came back. May I give you advanced medicine now? I could decide to use words like cardiac output, metabolism, and all of that, and then you get confused. Is it good? So, when I teach students like that, this is what we call high output heart failure. What is high output heart failure? It's a condition in which the heart is normal. But we still say it has failed. Why? Because the body is demanding too much. A normal adult heart pumps at rest about 5 to 6 liters of blood a minute. Your heart is very powerful. As small as it is, you empty a gallon in 1 minute. Yeah, no. No. Anytime you think of the human body, just lie on the floor and respect God. As that thing is about this size, it empties a whole gallon in 1 minute. That's at rest. When you put demand on it, it will empty 3 gallons in 1 minute. Yeah, that's how much. That's pumping out of 1 gallon into another one. In 1 minute, it empties a full 5-liter container. And it's resting. You are sleeping. When you now need to run. Hey, run, headsman, come, that kind of thing. It will easily move 15 liters. Worship God. Now, with all of that, sometimes a heart that can easily do that, we still say it's failing. So when I'm teaching students, I make a joke of it. Now, what do you mean by high output heart failure? It means the heart is pumping at its maximum capacity, But the body is demanding too much. There are conditions that cause it. I don't want to discuss that now. All right? So no matter how much you treat the heart for failure, it's not going to stop because it's not going to recover except you decrease the demand the body is needlessly placing. Sometimes, you know, electricity can shunt. No, electricity shunt in the house. The circuit breaker will just go off. The body also shunts. Blood flow in the body also shunts. So if it shunts like that, the load is just on the heart. So they have to be struggling. Yeah. So a lot of people in life, that's what they are doing to God. God has blessed them enough. God said, no, but they have put themselves under a high demand frequency. More. That is always, so they are all perpetually under stress. Colleague of mine was complaining, what's going on in this country? To buy dollar is now hard. Ah, I said, what? Me and you work in the same institution, the same profession. What do you concern? You concern dollar? You the import? Say he has two children in school in America. I say it's people like you that are spoiling this country. You are a university professor. It's not, the school is not good enough for your own children. I told him. Now you have two teenagers who you have to sweat to get dollar for. Meanwhile, you work in a university that will give you the honor and educate the two of them free of charge, essentially. Because federal, how much we pay? I mean, ridiculous amount like that. Now you say you are using faith. Use your faith to heal the sick, my friend, not to look for money to send to school, to send children to school, that they have alternatives. There's one word they use now when you're teaching economics. When there are, what, some of the alternatives? Alternative uses. The one that I use, I just marvel. You see people, they can't give again. Alternative uses. They are paying school fees abroad. Do you know how hard it is to be earning in Naira and paying school fees in dollars? Yes, if God makes it easy, please go ahead. I'm not here to judge and criticize anybody. I just get bothered when I see people who say they are using faith. Do you know faith has quantity? That you can have 5 international units of faith. You use 4.5 to look for to pay school fees. What would I use to get healed? What would you use to do other things in this life? I was talking about how blessed I am. The thing that God, 2 things, wisdom and contentment. A lot of problems people have, I don't have them. Sometimes they've tried to make me have them. I said no. One of the things I value the most in life, I've told you guys, is peace of mind. Oh, I value peace of mind. I told myself, I cannot be checking how much dollar is going for. No, I won't. I won't. I can't. I'm not an importer. I'm not a manufacturer that needs to import my raw materials. So I refuse for you to put me under pressure, checking how much they are selling dollar now. There are those who, when school, children started school, dollar was 400 naira. Now it's 1,005. And their income hasn't changed. They now come to church, pastor came to me and say, we need to re-roof this building. They say, well, why must we re-roof it? It's not, you see, you don't understand. Something else is making him angry. Pastor will now say, this December we need to do a program, so that we can. He said, is program necessary? Is service is not good, He said, why are we inviting guest ministers? After all, Pastor Dami is here. Why can't we invite him? Pastor came with himself, can preach all the services care. All of this because he knows that he has to give because church is run by brethren. I was saying, one of the things God does, all right, to bless people is to give them wisdom. No, I began all of this by saying something. That we are free. Remember that? Yes. I began all of this by saying we are free. And that the fact that you have a few issues in life is not proof that you're not free. That there's what is called acknowledgement. Acknowledging. There's what is called acknowledging. You have to acknowledge what God has done for you. So you have challenges. Someone say there's a curse. Reject it. Now, we are not doing rejection out of stubbornness. We are doing rejection because we are agreeing with God. Do you follow my point? That no, God said I'm free. But you have problems, eh? People have had problems before. People have had problems. Sarah had problems 25 years before she had Isaac, so. Was she cursed? No. God is tricking her through a process. It got to a point in time the Bible says she received the strength to conceive. Challenges don't mean you are cursed. So we'll now be going from one place. Go and listen to our series, The Era of the Prophets. before, promising you deliverance. When God has already delivered you. And the manifestation of the deliverance that God has given you, God says, see, what I'm not doing is developing something inside you. So you must take advantage of every challenge. Remember, I said something at the beginning? Sounded like a joke. Say, I was married this year. God said, I don't have any son I want to punish yet. So wait, maybe somebody will sin by next year. For this year, no iniquity great enough to make you somebody's wife. Now, that's not supposed to condemn you. That's supposed to let you know there's work to do in your life. And that's, you know, I was talking about prayer. Yes, yeah, I was saying that. Do you know that's the primary thing about prayer? See, God is not hard to persuade, though. Do you get my point? I've thought about it before. Say, people say, you will not pray for 5 hours. I've never believed those things. God is not counting hours. I've seen people brag about it. They say, man, they pray for 6 hours. They will not pray for 5 hours. They will not pray for 8 hours. Like Zach Punden will say, why are you telling us? You are now walking in the flesh. Pride has come into your life because you can stay long in the place of prayer. It's pride. If you pray for 6 hours, don't tell us. You tell your neighbor, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Braggado. You just want to brag. God is not hard to persuade. One day I saw somebody here, so funny. He said, if we pray for 5 hours to start revival, we need to pray for 7 hours to sustain it. I said, are you okay? When will you not do the revival? All you are doing is praying to start it, praying to sustain it. When will you not do it? And the person now sat down. I said, the person was praying. I called Dami. I said, Dami, are you sure this is not a demonic problem? It's not everything you see in church that is spiritual. Some of them are pure demonic manifestations. Let me not even go into that. Seriously, I know what I said. Don't be, small aside again. You know, we have not started preaching for the year. We're just welcoming each other that this will be a good year. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it will be a good year. It's not everything that looks spiritual that should impress you in church. I was telling my wife the other day, someone was talking some things about, I said, sweetheart, I said, this guy should be careful that doesn't mix familiar spirits manifesting with spiritual gifts. If you are seeing reckless vision, it's not a spiritual gift. It's a familiar spirit. Yeah, no, reckless vision. You're just coming. I just say, as you are coming, you cross the road. Then you jump here. You jump there. What is it? And I just wanted you to know. You have a familiar spirit. That's why one day you grow up and call yourself the lion himself. That guy, that's exactly what happened to him. When I heard his story, he grew up with a familiar spirit. So he used to see things. Yeah, that's why he started bragging about his power. He has never used them because he can't use them. The only one he has is the one he has used. Those of you who are watching us from Norway and Uganda, you won't know what we are talking about. But those of us in Nigeria, especially in the East, we know. That's why one of the things that confuses people, all right? People get confused when they see that this man had visions. Some people grow up with familiar spirits. And it's just part of them. So please, young people, if you go to school, someone start telling you, this morning when you woke up, you did this one. It's just saying so. Ask the person, is Jesus Lord? Did he come in the flesh? Did he die and rise again from the dead? Say, he rose from the dead? He said, yes. He said, good. Are you saved? Let's go. Now, any other thing? I want you to know I have powers. Okay, I don't need the powers. The Lord is good. Dami, why did I get into that one? I know I talk to all kinds of people. So when the Spirit brings it, I say it to deliver people. Some people have been going to church in the nature now. They don't know that they are dead. They think they are following spiritual power. It's not spiritual power. Familiar spirits generally don't have power. They just like to peep and mutter. No, they don't. They can't harm anybody. No, people don't know that. The only thing they can do is find lost things. Oh, if your phone missed, they can see it. It's under the bed. You will have gotten there eventually if God doesn't want to take your phone. But if God wants to remove the phone, you will find out the bed is dead. Just by the way, don't be afraid of anybody that has familiar spirits. If somebody sees visions, and that tells you what will happen to you, don't believe him. Please, I need to just sit there for a moment. Don't believe him. Please, I need to say this categorically. A man comes, describes to you, as you are coming today, one madman crossed the road in front of you. See, Enugu has a lot of them. Doesn't mean anybody's chasing you. Okay? And then your tire went down. He now, because of that, now says to you, don't travel to Onitsha next week. Tell him that one has not yet happened. You saw the one that has happened. You can't tell, because they can't see the thing that will happen later. They can only cause you to believe a lie and activate it in your life. So shouldn't I listen to prophets? Let me tell you how you know the prophets you listen to. Do you want to know? Yes. Say, please tell me. Aha, good, good, good. Real prophets of God, they don't control your movement. They don't bring fear into your life. They always activate repentance. Always. For example, a real prophet will tell you, don't go to Onitsha next week. You know what he's saying. You know. You're a married man. Your girlfriend is in Onitsha. It's not the road that is his problem. It is that he has caught you in adultery and is warning you if you go, you will die. Doesn't care about the road. A real prophet that God can reveal things to. But always, what he does when he wants to give you instructions is usually based on obedience to the word of God, repentance from iniquity, and the fear of God. He never instigates a fear of man. Listen to me, listen carefully. Once he says, be afraid of somebody because he's a witch. There's this movie they did the last time, all right? You know the one I'm talking about. Some of our guys don't want to mention for certain reasons. That movie, all right? The whole series is a bunch of crap. It's nonsense from beginning to the end. I watched only the first one. I don't know about the other ones, okay? Let me just warn you ahead. You've not seen it? Don't bother. Don't waste your time. Please, I didn't mention any name, but those of you are here who follow me, you know what I'm talking about. It's a bundle of nonsense. Because what some people ended up doing is activating the fear of witchcraft. What they ended up doing is activating the fear of witchcraft in the lives of believers. And now that's false prophecy. It's false prophecy. True prophecies, true prophets, they always activate the fear of God. They always magnify Christ Jesus. Please, I need to help those who listen to me. Paul said it clearly to Timothy, so you can save yourself and those who hear you. I need to save those who hear me. Listen to me. If you are pregnant, you don't have to hide it. Anybody that wants to eat your unborn baby will eat her own heart. Will eat his own heart. I give you the word of the Lord. They will feast on their own kidneys. So don't worry about it. Walk to your auntie. Ah, you didn't come to our house last weekend. You know we're doing this party, auntie. They say I should have bed rest. Why? You know I'm 3 months pregnant. Say it. Say it. Your God is not powerful in hiding. Your unbelief is the only problem. I say it to you again. Nobody is allowed to activate the fear of man and the fear of witches in your life by their prophecies and their drama. Hear ye the word of the Lord. God said, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. Do you know the kind of God you serve? When God wants to bless you, he will exchange human beings for your life. That's what he does. That's the God we serve. So nobody is allowed to use any nonsense doctrine. Claim to be a prophet. He saw visions. He now wants to control. There are plenty. That's their business. And that's Africa. See, in case you do not know, it is when they took African worship and entered into church with it. That's what I did all of these things. People now thrive on visions and fear generated by so-called visions. People can be puffed up, Paul said, by visions they claim that they had. Say that, okay, when you were small, this happened to you. Eh? Everybody in my village, you know. Have I seen you before? So? Do I know you before? Oh, God, I don't know. What do you want to tell me? Yesterday, you and your wife said this in the bedroom. Thank you. No, see, real prophets have been known to use that to activate faith in people. You see where I'm going? No, they've been known. They've been known. But you see where I'm going? So when you finish all of that, thank you very much. Now I know you have a spiritual power. So, what's the next thing? You will not come to deliver and stay in church for 1 week. Oga, I get work. You are not my deliverer. If he says, then the Lord says, you will depart from sin. Then listen. I perceive there are secret sins in your life. Don't ever argue against such things. Any specific one, sir? Aha. At 12 midnight, what do you do? That is when you sneak out of the bedroom to go and be watching pornography. He has caught you. That's the real prophet. That's the real prophet. He has caught you. He has seen how you want to divide your home. You've been hiding money from your wife. He has caught you. So he restores you to righteousness. That's how you know a real prophet. A false prophet will tell you, you bring an offering to break the power. He's false. Give him money, please. Should you give him money? Yes. Because you see, you shouldn't go and see a hungry man. And you don't help him. He's a hungry man. Remember that joke? Somebody came and said, have you heard of Civex? It's a platform where you can make $1 million a week. The guy who was telling, he turned to the guy selling. He said, but give this guy a cook. Give him, he said, do you want color of bread? That guy said, I prefer bread. Yeah, give him bread. He gave him money. He said, this one you are marketing to me is hunger. I know his commission you are looking for. He bought the guy a food and went there. As he was going, that guy said, okay, beg, please. You get 500, maybe I take and see front. The guy dashed on 500. He went about his, he was not even angry at all. Oh God, give me that guy's spirit. He wasn't angry at all. There are times you see some of those prophets, say, prophet, wait. How far? How family? Say, bro, things rough. I say, that's what you should say. You see, this prophet sign is not necessary. Deep your hand in your pocket, okay? Please, Pastor Banky preaches on Saturday. Maybe join us there. You know, I take this 10K, maybe take chop, okay? And if you eat my money, you can't prophesy again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm fine, work. The Lord is good. That we know we're just gisting. We have not even said our message for the year. A real prophet, I've told you now, does not bring fear of man, fear of the devil, fear of witchcraft into your life. It converts it to what? Repentance. The fear of God. That's what he always brings. So let him have all kinds of visions. Where does he end? It has to be the testimony of Jesus. He can say to you, don't be afraid. The Lord said, I should tell you, everything's going to be okay. Say, relax. That's a real prophet. Doesn't bind you to himself. Please go and listen to our series, The Era of the Prophets. 10 minutes each, alright? We did, how many of it? Anyway, go to the podcast, The Era of the Prophets. And please listen to it. Is that okay? The Lord is good. I think I've made my point there. So now, let's not get to the beginning of the message. We'll introduce it. Like I said, we're just greeting ourselves this year. And one important thing I said, which is what we are going to amplify, is that what is most important to God is what we are becoming. You hear what I said? What did I say? Yes, it's what we are becoming. Listen, brethren, even in the challenges of our lives, there is something we must become. Okay, I was saying something earlier. Let me just amplify it further. God is not hard to persuade. In the period of waiting for his answer, keep checking the instructions that he's teaching you, is using to teach you. Very important. In the period of waiting for his answer, please keep on, see, there is no, we are disciples. What did I say?
Yes, disciples.
You know what are disciples? Students. People are always learning. Please, can I beg you, make reading scriptures a habit. Every day read a chapter of your Bible. Not as I'm just doing Bible around the year. That's good. But this is like, I need to get instructions from God. Anytime you read your Bible, an instruction will come to you. And when you get like that, share it. You know, like, I mean, not like it's a personal thing. What I'm trying to say is a principle. Just share it. Last year, I heard a number of things different, and I even said something similar here. I said at the beginning when I heard Dr. Fagbemi teach also, And he emphasized that we should take our Christian walk seriously. That's an instruction. You just read things like, my soul follows hard after you. You understand? You just realize, God is saying, take your Christian walk seriously. I was studying yesterday, and I noticed that Esau did not know the gravity of that simple transaction of selling his birthright. That hits me. Be very careful what you say with your mouth. Be very careful what you agree to. I said the profound decisions of life that will move you forward or retard your progress, many times they are made and you think it's trivial. Be careful when you exchange things of eternal value for things of temporal value. Don't just change a job because salary increased. Always look for things of eternal value. I was just reading my Bible, and I just saw that line. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. And he did not realize it. You know how I know he didn't realize it? When it was time to collect the blessing, he still wanted the blessing. Do you know he came back for the blessing? He didn't realize he had sold it. I was reading in my Bible, and I realized that this man said, these two times he has defrauded me. No wonder he's called supplanter. It's not true. He never defrauded you. Not once, not to talk about twice. You sold your birthright. Then you wanted to defraud him by still claiming a right to something you sold. Brethren, was that not what happened? He said, what is this, the worth of this birthright to me now? Because he was hungry. They didn't put a gun to his head. Look, I've been famished before. I've been hungry. You wouldn't give me my car for a meat pie. No, I mean, you say, Pastor Bank, you see, you are so hungry. Say, Bank, my friend, how you doing? I'm so hungry. Man, I feel like fainting. Even if I was really fainting, my car for a meat pie? No, I wouldn't give it to you. I wouldn't give you my laptop for a meat pie. Do you know that? I won't give you my phone for a meat pie. No matter how hungry I am. See, think about it. I don't care how hungry anybody has become. You wouldn't sell anything simple, temporal value. So when you see women say that the reason why they sleep with men because of this, because they don't value it. It's not poverty. It's not poverty. It's not poverty. You don't value your body. You don't understand the value of what you are doing. You don't. When I hear somebody think, say, lecturer threatening, I said, that to me is not a temptation. It's not. Lecturer said, if you don't sleep with him, you will not pass. So? If I miss the exam to prove a point to him, or guy record absent, that exam, I will not come. I will stay one extra year in school so that God can punish you double. And there's something I always say, please, ladies, go and cram it. If you are listening to this and you have some random lecturers, please go and cram it. Thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. It's in the scriptures. If you know, you know. If you don't know, forget about it. No, see, you know, let me explain something. Dami, there are things I don't call temptation. A young girl can't come and tell me that a lecturer is telling you if you don't do it, clinical. What I want to call temptation is this, sir. Should I kill him or slap him? That is temptation. It's not temptation that should I agree or not agree. What I call temptation is, sir, I don't know, when it comes, should I kick him in the balls or slap him in the face? You know, as an old man, I can't be slapping my elder. I say, don't do it again. No. I know what he's doing is bad, but please don't slap him. That is what I can discuss with you. That's what I call what? A temptation. Temptation to slap a man. You know, the Bible says that if you're fighting a man and you hold him by the testicles, you should cut off your hand. You know, it's in the Bible like that. Say, sir, should I hold him by the testicles? Will they cut off my hand? That's what I call temptation. Should I just spit in his face? I'll say, that one is good. Spit in his face. And then let's leave it like that. Because in the Bible says if he won't behave like a responsible person, spit in his face. You know, it's in the scriptures. You don't know that portion of the Bible? Oh, is there? Now they say when a man refuses to do the redeemer's job. Yes. So there are times in which you spit in the man's face. That's what I call temptation. So by the time you come to me and tell me that Esau was hungry, that's why he sold his birthright. No. The Bible says he despised it. Now, I was just reading my Bible. I said, look, well, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. And of course, you're not just going to be careful in the deals you make. You have to be careful in the things you value. Do you understand my point? How you value things. How you value things. Sometimes people tell me how husband and wife will separate themselves for a long time. When I heard this story, I looked at my wife. Do you think I would do that? Only for the gospel's sake. If we have to go and preach in the bush, we'll know we are preaching. But nobody say, I want any extra money. I know they do. It's the value you place on things. It's value. Now, what am I trying to say? When God wants to bless you, you know what he does? He'll be correcting you. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He will be correcting you. So there's a period in which the answer appears delayed. Don't worry, he heard you. So each day, you take your scriptures and read. And each time, you know what you are doing? You are learning. Sometimes he'll correct you by just correcting the simple thing. Do you know, most Christians don't even know how to use their tongue. The only time they speak right is when they're in church telling them, say after me. That's the only time. At other times, you open their mouth and they'll just be like a typical unbeliever. And they can only confess what is good about their own personal self. They can't confess about the government, about the country. They don't contribute faith into their environment and they want to prosper. God is not angry. He says ignorance. But before I can bless you, I must correct you. Brother, let me just end here. You have to fight hard to get the instructions of correction. See, if a month passes and you have not made a major correction in your life, be concerned. No, really, really. What it means is that you're not examining yourself well enough. You're not studying scriptures well enough. You're not going to church well enough. You know that you're going to church? Going to where the word of God is being taught. Please, this year, don't joke with church going. Don't, see. Only stream for things that are not in your city. Let me tell you, if you are streaming, the Lord bless you, okay? That's assuming you are not in Enugu, alright? I'm not talking to those in Enugu. If you're in Enugu and maybe you just had a baby and all of that, I can also forgive you. Beyond that, that you are tired is nonsense explanation, all right? You have to be doing something else, okay? So, where I'm going is this. Streaming in itself is not bad. However, it is far inferior to physical presence. Can it be compared? It can't be compared now. For example, now since you sat down here, has anybody asked you, hey, where did I keep my keys? You've been sitting down here now for over 2 hours. Has anybody come to ask you any question? But you know, no matter how streaming you are at home, no matter how you are concentrating, your husband will walk in, for those of you married women, and give you a kiss on the neck. So how are you doing? Say, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. Then you continue streaming. Then while you are streaming, say, please, I don't mean to disturb, but please, is there any food? Yeah, please check the fridge. And that's a good man who has chosen not to disturb you. But you know, we're physically present here. If he comes here, he too must hear the word. Take the time out to go to church. That's the point I'm making. In fact, church services, I can even understand those who stream things like Kingdom Word because all I do is teach. How can you stream church service? Are you okay? When they want to worship, what do you do? You're not even well dressed. And God doesn't like worship for people who are not well dressed like that anyway. What I mean is that you're not serious. When they start the worship, you are brushing the bathroom. Yeah, I am too. You're not here to worship, you are brushing. Yeah, I am too wrong. Yeah. See? And when they are praying, you are ironing. So cold, tall, love, boy. Is that not true? See. Is that not what you say? Is that not what you do anytime you are streaming and you don't go to church? That's why, so even companies have not done, when they are doing training for this, if they have to join remotely, they have AI now that monitors that you are sitting down there. And AI will alert your supervisor if your face, they even use facial recognition. Where's the reverend? There's one you were telling me the other day that they say you must see, they might be seeing you like this. If you move, they know. Because they find out some people there, they go put dummy there and put glasses on the dummy. Now AI, now say, no. Now we do facial recognition. It must be you. And don't go and put your picture, because these days, smart devices, if you don't blink, picture will blink. Say you know that. The point I make is that they know people easily get distracted. I'm saying this here, brethren, dress up in the morning. Go to where the word of God is being preached. If you're a member of a church, go for service. Because worship is important. Prayer, communal prayer, is part of it. And the word of God, in an ambience where nobody can distract. I listen to messages all the time. But there's almost no message I've listened to, through, one, at it go, without interruption. Either I fall asleep, or as I'm listening, my wife walks in. How was the day? Please, the G start, then I pause it. I continue tomorrow. If it was in service, I can't do that. I will get it from the beginning till the end, and the Spirit will flow uninterrupted. What am I saying? If God is going to bless you, He must change you, He must correct you, He must realign you. And that's what should be your focus, not emergency breakthrough. Now listen to me, that breakthrough will come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, that prosperity, it will come. It will come at a time when you won't even respect it. It will come in abundance, you will give somebody else to be counting. Because you are too busy being effective in this life. Listen, God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So this message is just, we are greeting each other, all right? That's all we are doing, because what we wanted to preach. Now, just to prove to you that there's something we wanted to preach, we'll read the particular scripture and then we have closed. But I just want to prove to myself that, see, the thing I came with the year, the thing we wanted to start the year with, I have it here. So let's just read this and then we'll go. The book of John chapter 1. I'll read it, just make a point, and then we'll go. Now, I'm going to start from verse 35. But where I'm going is verse 40. Towards the end of the 40s, okay? But because it's long, I don't need all of it. I just want to use that 35 to introduce. So, reading from verse 35, I will jump in a large number of verses to get to where I'm going. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he told them to come. Then verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. So he brought him, verse 42, to Jesus. Now go down to verse 43. That's why I want to slow down. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Philip said to him, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. What did we find? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, I'm just showing the fact that how Jesus was speaking his disciples one by one. And Philip said to him, come and see. Now, verse 47 is why I read all of that. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. I'm going to stop reading here. Jesus looked at Nathanael and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." I like King James here. "In whom there is no guile." This year, my focus, at least beginning this year, in my teachings, is to produce for the Lord Christians indeed. That's a summary. Christians indeed. Now, let me tell you what it means by Christians indeed. It doesn't mean people who have been made righteous by Christ Jesus. That's not what it means. Even though that's part of it. It doesn't mean people who are children of God and they know that they are saved in their hearts. That's not what it means. What did Jesus say concerning an Israelite? Indeed, a true Israelite. What did he say? In him there is no deceit. When I say Christian indeed, it's purely about character. It's not about faith. It's about character. That is faith that is so full, it produces character. The teaching I want to begin is about Christian character. I'm tired. Where is Chooks? Yesterday was talking. He said that in Igbo. He didn't interpret it for people like John. But those of us who have interpretation of tongues, we got the vibes. He said, "You see, preacher." How did he say it again? Who was here? Co-workers meeting. Thank you. What does that mean in English? Say, don't use economics terminology. What are you looking for? Just. Yes. And he was talking, if you notice that, he was talking specifically about preachers. Do you remember yesterday? Do you understand that? Yesterday. When he said that, I said, "Praise God." Because when I was meditating about how this year will go, that's what it said in my heart. That this year, we are producing what? Christians indeed. People that can be trusted 100%. We used to make a joke when those were on campus. There was one sticker we had. Have you seen it before? I don't know why it's popular these days. But those days, they say, "Believe it or not, I'm a child of God." Now, those who designed the sticker, what they meant was that God has elevated me. So we turned the joke out of it. He said, "Man, it's true. We can't hardly believe it. We're not for this sticker." Do you catch that twist? That you are so dishonest. You are so untrustworthy. You have to put the sticker there. "Believe it or not, I'm still a child of God." I say, "Yeah, it's not your fault, though. That's not your fault." Brother, you know what I want to preach concerning this year? That it is important to God what your character is like. That God wants to produce in each one of us Christians indeed. You know what it means? You can be trusted with money. If you say good money, we don't have to go and peep outside to see whether it's really money. We know it is money and that it is good. That you can be trusted completely. You don't defraud people. You don't commit sexual immorality. You're not an adulterer. You're not a fornicator. You are a real Christian. And that you are a good person. You know, some people, once they don't steal, they don't cheat, they don't commit adultery and all of that, they think they are okay. But they are bad people. Christians are good people. What did I say? Yes, they help the needy. They are not selfish. They are generous. See, you know my prayer for you this year? People will look and say, "Where's your God? Where's your church?" They will just observe the totality of your life. Amen. That's it. Please, God does not want this Christianity that it's only when you are grown, we know you are born again. When you join them, we know, okay, you too, you have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was not given to you to behave funny. It was given to you as empowerment to perform. Whatever God puts in your hand, Holy Spirit comes upon you to be able to do it effectively. You will be a worker that people will be struggling to employ. Let's bow down our heads. That's the plan. That's what I wanted to say at the beginning. The Lord said, let's get this thing out of the way. But that's the direction we are going. Give the Lord thanks because we've begun this year, and I believe we have begun well. Just give the Lord thanks. And then please pray that prayer. Just one prayer. Just say, Lord, I want to be a Christian indeed. It's a simple prayer. But that's the direction we are going. I want to be a Christian indeed. Just say, I want to be a Christian indeed.